And now another no-brainer money-saving tip from Progressive.
That doesn't sound good.
Paper shredder's jammed, but I think I fixed it.
Oh, well, try shredding these $50 bills then.
Seems like it's working.
Better try another $400.
Stop. Instead of using money, use regular paper. And here's a better tip from Progressive on how not to waste money. Don't pay too much for car insurance. Drivers who switch and save could save hundreds. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary.
Head on over to jointhenerdclan.com and become part of the official Nerd Clan community. There you can get access to premium podcasts, free swag, bonus Q&As, bonus After Dark podcasts, and much more. You can check all of this out at jointhenerdclan.com. Providence, Rhode Island, welcome to the Potterverse. It's a podcast dedicated to the book and film series of Harry Potter. So grab your favorite wands and your time turners and let's step into the night and pursue that flighty temptress adventure. How's it going? My name is Mary Larson.
My name is Blake, and I just want to remind all of you watching us live and yes. listening to me on the podcast app how much I love the Potterverse. You want to know why?
Tell me more.
Because I'm missing the Patriots versus Chiefs football game.
Yeah.
Right now.
This is crazy town. So, of course, the Pats were supposed to play on Sunday, but we had a COVID situation on the team. So they postponed it until today. And yeah, I was so shocked.
Mm-hmm.
5 minutes before recording, I came downstairs to the studio and there's Blake on his phone watching the game. And I was like, this is commitment.
Yes.
This is Potter commitment right here. That you're cheating on Tom Brady right
now. Well, I'm not cheating on Tom Brady. Tom Brady's cheating on me.
You're right. Tom Brady's no longer with us.
That's right.
R.I.P.
I'm cheating on Bill Belichick.
He's not really dead. I'm just saying R.I.P.
He might as well be dead to me.
Okay, Belichick. Well, anyway, tonight, what is taking precedence over the Patriots game is the Rogue Bludger.
Thanks, Mary.
You know what? It's still a sport. And it's quite an exciting chapter of said sport. It's kind of like football. You know, there's a lot of injuries. That's what happens all the time. It's like... Whenever your eyeballs can finally focus, it's because someone's hurt and they're just zoomed in on some guy. You can't tell who it is because the helmet rolling back and forth, crying for his mother. The poor thing. Okay, so the Rogue Bludger, and here is the quote that I have for you. Ah, if Harry Potter only knew, Dobby groaned, more tears dripping into his ragged pillowcase.
No, you got to use the voice.
If he only knew what he means to us. I don't know. You do a better voice. You were doing it today. I'm going to just do it in mine.
If Harry Potter only knew.
What he means to us. The lowly, the enslaved. I do need to say this in my regular voice because I think this is the most important paragraph of this entire thing.
You know what? Go for it.
Okay. If Harry Potter only knew, Dobby groaned, more tears dripping into his ragged pillowcase. If he only knew what he means to us. The lowly. The enslaved, we dregs of the magical world. Dobby remembers how it was when he who must not be named was at the height of his power, sir. We house elves were treated like vermin, sir. Of course, Dobby is still treated like that, sir, he admitted, drying his face in his pillowcase. But mostly, sir, life has improved for my kind since you triumphed over he who must not be named. Harry Potter survived, and the Dark Lord's power was broken, and it was a new dawn, sir. And Harry Potter shone like a beacon of hope for those of us who thought the dark days would never end, sir. And now, at Hogwarts, terrible things are to happen, and perhaps happening already. And Dobby cannot let Harry Potter stay here now that history is to repeat itself, now that the Chamber of Secrets is open once more.
This is very interesting.
Again, you liked it with my voice, right? Because it like hits you. It hit when you're reading
I'm
it.
I'm kind
Dobby
of in on the
voice,
Dobby voice. I'm kind of in because it sounds more pathetic in the Dobby
it
voice.
It does, but that's why I'm saying you have to read it with it not being pathetic. You have to read it.
I kind of disagree.
Okay. Let's get into this. All right. So before we get into it, we wanted to remind you that we would love for you to subscribe to this podcast. Here's the scoop. There are like 9.75 million Harry Potter podcasts out there, but tons of people are either reading the series for the first time or rereading it and are looking for fresh new Potter podcasts to join their life. And one of the best ways you can do that is subscribe for our podcast. Even if you join us live, subscribe for it in your podcast app of choice and let us have a review. If you could write a review, add some 5 stars, that goes such a long way for people being able to find us. The other thing we wanted to let you know about is that you can head to maryandblake.com, where we have a plethora of other blogs and podcasts to keep you company. We are recommending right now that you check out our This Is Us podcast called This Is Us 2. This Is Us, of course, comes back later this month in October. Fantastic series on NBC, and we have had a podcast for every single episode. So if you are a fan of This Is Us, you can just listen to those podcast episodes. It will bring you back up to snuff on everything that happened. And we also want to thank everyone at jointhenerdclan.com for making today possible. Let's get into the show.
I solemnly swear that I'm up to no good.
I almost did it again. I almost jumped the gun on the button. It was close. But I'm learning. I'm learning to just hesitate for one more second. Just pay attention to the script. Hey, Rebecca here on Facebook has a great question.
Yeah.
Marvin. Dobby is so great.
Yes.
Which house
do
you
think three faves
that Dobby would be in?
Hands down, Gryffindor. Hands flipping burnt by a iron down Gryffindor.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I know.
You know what? You're not even plugged in. You're not even plugged. You can't even hear it.
Blake, you are so deaf that I can hear all of the sound effects.
What'd you say?
Through your headphones.
Sorry, I can't hear you.
I know, honey. When I get into Blake's car, which is not a Ford Anglia, I wish it was some days. That'd be really cool.
I know.
I have to immediately turn down the volume or else my sensitive musician eardrums
get
busted.
I'm an audiophile. I got to have it loud. I like hearing it.
Oof.
All right, so go
you're talking to the girl that wears special audio earplugs during wind ensemble practice.
All right, do your recap. What do you got?
Okay. Oh, yeah, sorry, my recap. Okay, sorry, I've got it all like lined up. I'm all flustered tonight, aren't I?
Yeah, you got you're messing. What are you
okay,
doing?
Okay, so things start off. The kids get the note from Professor Lockhart saying that they can get the book in the restriction section so they can make polyjuice potion.
In the what?
Hallelujah. In the restriction section.
Okay, good. Just making sure.
Then there's a Quidditch match. Holy smokes. Hold on to your butts because there's a bludger coming straight for Harry. Luckily, it crushes only his arm, but it still crushes it. And in the process, Lockhart takes all the bones out with a magical little bippity boppity boo. But Harry won the match, so all is good. And Madame Pomfrey fixes it. All the while, Dobby comes in and says, guess what? You know how you guys have been wondering if the Chamber of Secrets is real? It is real. And Harry Potter, you are my one and only.
Good
and
job.
Colin Creevy got petrified. Poor wee Colin Creevy.
Yes, he did. Poor thing.
Poor thing.
Poor thing. Poor thing. Nerds. Okay. What stands out to you most in this chapter, Marvin? What do you think is the thing that sticks out and says, okay, this is the point of this chapter?
What I read.
Really?
What I read from Dobby. Okay, so here's the thing. Like, yes, the kids get into hanging out with Lockhart. We've got so much fun, which we will delve into the Lockhart. But let's get to the meat. They get the polyjuice potion. They play Quidditch. Harry gets his arm broken. Mm-hmm. Madame Pomfrey tries to put his bones coming on back. And then Dobby shows up. And this just a slightly annoying character who's just been getting in Harry Potter's way ends up saying, like, yes, it was me who tried to stop you from getting into Platform 9 3/4. Mm-hmm. I can't believe you didn't go home. And then you come here and I'm the one that bewitched that bludger. I mean, here they've been thinking that the Slytherins did it and it's Dobby. And Harry's like, Dobby, if I had bones in my arms, I'd be strangling you right now. And Dobby says, can I please like explain to you for one moment why I'm trying to keep you from here? Because right. Something really, really bad is about to happen here. And so this is what I want to just savor. Okay. So Dobby, he's a mere house elf. Okay. But he knows what's going on. We know whose house he lives in. If we've read the series before, he knows exactly what's happening. He even knows down to the fact that the Chamber of Secrets by name is being reopened, mm-hmm. possibly at this very moment. But he needs to save Harry Potter. And the reason he needs to save Harry Potter is that Harry Potter is the face of change and of freedom and of a moment of levity in these elves' lives and magical creatures' lives. He says that when the Dark Lord was in charge, things were so, so bad. And while still things are quite bad right now for elves, in particular house elves, they are loads better, all because of Harry Potter.
Sure.
That Harry Potter is a beacon for the enslaved, for the mistreated, because their lives, even though they are still downtrodden, are much better, and he gives them hope.
Yeah. It finally gives, I think, the readers, and obviously us as viewers for the film particularly, but especially in the book, it gives us readers more of an insight into why Dobby is doing what he is doing. Earlier, we questioned, okay, why is Dobby shutting things down for Harry?
Yeah.
What about Harry? What does Dobby know about Harry that we don't? And why is he doing it not just for, why is he not doing it for the entire school of Hogwarts? Like, the whole school is in danger.
Yes.
Essentially. Yes. Unless you are not, you know, half, you know, unless you were muggle-born. Unless you're not muggle-born.
If you're,
you're in danger. But, and God knows how many muggle-born wizards are there.
Exactly.
Because, you know, the pure blood families are there, but
it's been watered down over time.
They've been watered down. They've been lessened. So the whole school is in danger. But he specifically, from moment one, has been calling out Harry. And this is, I think, a large reason why he's calling out Harry. He doesn't want Harry to be extinguished, because apparently the Dark Lord may be back. And Harry is the one beacon that protects the house elves from the horrible lives they've had.
You know, we were joking about Tom Brady, but for you, my love, pretend Tom Brady was still in the Patriots. You know, for all these past several years, Tom Brady was a lot of Patriots fans' beacon. The entire team could be doing well, or the entire team could be doing poorly, but if Tom Brady goes down,
ugly.
There are tears. There were tears shed in Pat's Nation.
Yes.
And I'm not saying that Tom Brady comes anywhere close to Harry Potter, because Harry Potter is
No, he's way better.
No.
Yeah, Tom Brady is way better.
You know, if you want to stay in your bed tonight, you got to hold back that tongue, man. But, you know, there are people who historically have made significant differences when it comes to justice, when it comes to equality, when it comes to these really deep matters that are interwoven in this series, you know, starting really in this book. In this book, these themes come in, and when you read it through a more mature lens, it's pretty interesting. So I don't know. I just feel like that was very poignant. And it also probably opened Harry's eyes. Because before now, he's just Harry freaking Potter. And he's like, why am I famous for nothing? Like, my parents died. My mom put the protective spell on me. I did nothing. I'm pretty much like Kim Kardashian. Like, I've done nothing. I've just shown up. But now Dobby is putting it into perspective that, no, you mean so much more to the world, that if you get hurt, it will like put a lot of fear in all of us.
Right. Especially going back to the way things were in Voldemort's time.
Yes.
Nobody wants to go back to that, especially the house elves. While I think what you've brought up here, Mary, is an extremely valid point,
I just thought it was also valid in 2020.
In what way? What do you mean?
Let me just take a moment to read it again, because think about it through the lens of Harry Potter. If he knew what he means to us, the lowly, the enslaved, we dregs of the magical world. Dobby remembers how it was when he who must not be named was at the height of his powers. We house elves are treated like vermin. Of course, Dobby is still treated like that. But mostly life has improved since you triumphed over he who must not be named. Harry Potter survived and the Dark Lord's power was broken, and it was a new dawn, sir. And Harry Potter shone like a beacon of hope for those of us who thought the dark days would never end, sir. And now at Hogwarts, the world, terrible things are about to happen, or are happening, okay? And perhaps happening already. And Dobby cannot let Harry Potter stay here now that history is to repeat itself, now that the Chamber of Secrets is once again open again.
Sure.
So I just, for me, like, having people to look to who are beacons of hope, or having something as simple and yet as deep as having a book series to turn to.
Sure.
Having a community to have in times of deep trial is very important. You know, it's the reason that you and I even decided to do the Potterverse, mm-hmm. because we were like, we need to be the Lumos in the time of Nux. You need to have these things to look forward to in the tough times. And what Dobby's saying is the tough times are sadly coming back, mm-hmm. and we need some Lumos in this time of Nux.
Right.
And for them, that Lumos is HP. It's Harry Potter.
All about the HP life. And I think piggybacking on this idea, Mary, is that, I love the fact that Harry gets super pissed at Dobby.
Careful with your wording, young children, listen.
that he's like, I'm going to like strangle you.
Yeah.
I can't believe you're here. I can't believe you've done this. But something happens. Mm-hmm. Harry's empathy kicks in.
Yep.
And sympathy at the same time. He understands that Dobby has essentially been tortured. And he feels bad for Dobby. And it goes to show you the kind of character.
Extraordinary, yeah.
Yeah, the character that Harry has, that he can see anger, but also flip that and say, okay, no, this is ugly. I should be caring for this person.
He blows his nose in this dirty pillowcase, you know, and that's how he learns about how house elves don't have clothes.
This is a great foreshadowing for what Harry ends up doing at the mm-hmm. end of the book by actually giving Dobby a sock. I mean, I think it's so special that Dobby mentions the fact that they won't even give me a sock because that will end up in me being free. And then, of course, at the end of the book, Harry does so. So it's not quite a bookend, but it is certainly a follow through. That is one of those things that, again, if you're paying attention and you're reading it analytically, you see the foreshadowing immediately.
Yep.
And also what this chapter is doing, what this chapter is doing. Sorry, my brain's running a million miles a minute.
It's going so fast.
I'm stepping over my words here. What this chapter does, we are essentially halfway through this book now.
Yes.
Think about that. We are halfway through this book. In my edition here, the illustrated edition, there's 260 some odd pages. The beginning of this chapter is page 123. So we are essentially halfway through. And what this chapter does as the midway point of the book is that it firmly, firmly establishes that what is happening with the Chamber of Secrets and what is happening between all of the people and the people getting petrified, and they finally put a name to what is happening to these people, especially Colin Creevy. Mm-hmm. You would be able to tell what the point of this book is without seeing the book title if you were reading this book.
Yes.
By this chapter.
Agreed.
And there is, I think there's a perfect structural essence to this chapter because it follows up and follows through on a great three beat as it relates to the Chamber of Secrets.
Okay.
The first three beat, the first of them comes in the chapter Gilderoy Lockhart when Harry hears the voice. He doesn't understand it, doesn't quite get it, but he hears it and he's scared.
Yes.
And he's scared not only of the voice, but where it's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next chapter, which is the death day party. He walks out. I'm sorry. No, it was the death day party where he hears the voice, whatever. Is it that? Yeah.
There's writing on the wall.
Yes. And then there's the writing on the wall.
The death day party.
Yes. And there was the writing on the wall where Harry sees the writing. The cat is petrified. It's taken up the next level. And then in this chapter,
it was Mud, Bloods, and Murmurs where we first heard the
murmurs. Mud, Bloods, and Murmurs. Okay,
so it may not be a perfect 3-beat, but
This is the third. This is the third part of it. Not only is Harry scared, but in the last chapter, he was scared that he could be the heir to Slytherin. He is a part of it.
Because no one else heard it.
Nobody else heard it. And his friends are doubting him. And then the third part in this particular chapter, it finally gets personal. The kid that obsesses over Harry Potter, this poor little first year, Colin Creevy, gets petrified. One of the students is finally, in this case, hurt.
Yes.
And it ratchets up that tension and it ratchets up the plot all at the same time. That perfect three beat of that tension and the the problem becoming the main focus of this book. It's excellent.
Agreed, agreed. So let's kind of hang out with Lockhart for a little bit. Well, we can start, you know, in the three areas of this particular chapter. So the students, of course, are hanging out with Lockhart. And ever since he had that pixie fiasco, he has not brought in any more live creatures and instead acts out scenes from his book with Harry. Harry has to be a werewolf in this chapter, which, once again, a great little Easter egg, right, as we know what happens later in Prisoner of Azkaban.
Right, exactly.
So that was just really neat. And they, of course, get him to say yes to letting them go to the restricted section where they get the Polyjuice Potion book, which actually is quite a complicated recipe.
Yes, it's going to take a month to brew, and the boys are like, yeah, dude, I don't know if we should be doing this.
Actually, the boy, another thing too, is Ron like calls out to Hermione that he's a brainless git. He's like, he literally just wrote that for us. I don't see why you're still enamored with him. And Hermione still is, even after, by the way, he accidentally removes all of Harry's bones. Hermione is still standing up for him. If this is not pure, like, 12-year-old's like love of teacher, I don't know what is, because Hermione's way too smart to be.
Can we just talk? Before we were recording here, I was actually reading this chapter to my kids.
Yes.
Before they went to bed, and as I was reading,
he was giggling to himself.
I couldn't stop laughing because of the interaction between Lockhart and Harry Potter on the Quidditch field after Harry wins the match and ends up with a broken arm on the pitch. Mm-hmm. And he wakes up, he came around, rain falling on his face, still lying on the pitch with someone leaning over him. He saw a glitter of teeth. "Oh no, not you," he moaned. "Doesn't know what he's saying," said Lockhart loudly to the anxious crowd of Gryffindors pressing around them. "Not to worry, Harry. I'm about to fix your arm." "No," said Harry. "I'll keep it like this, thanks." He tried to sit up, but the pain was terrible. He heard a familiar clicking noise nearby. "I don't want a photo of this, Colin," he said loudly. "Lie back, Harry," said Lockhart soothingly. "It's a simple charm I've used countless times. Why can't I just please go to the hospital wing?"
"Yes,"
said Harry through his clenched teeth. "He should, really, Professor," said a Muddy Wood, who couldn't help grinning even though his seeker was injured. "Great capture, Harry. Really spectacular. You're best yet, I'd say." And through the thicket of legs around him, Harry spotted Fred and George Weasley wrestling the rogue Bludger into a box. It was still putting up a terrific fight. "Stand back," said Lockhart, who was rolling up his jade green sleeves. "No, no, don't, don't," said Harry weakly. But Lockhart was twirling his wand, and a second later, he directed it straight at Harry's arm. And then it goes on to saying that he didn't have bones anymore. "Ah," said Lockhart. "Yes, well, that can sometimes happen. But the point is, the bones are no longer broken. That's the thing to bear in mind. So, Harry, just toddle up to the hospital wing. Ah, Mr. Weasley, Miss Granger, would you escort him? And Madame Pomfrey will be able to tidy you up a bit."
Okay, let's take a moment here. Where is Snape?
Why is Snape pertinent?
Because he's supposed to be protecting Harry. Where's Dumbledore?
Yes.
Okay, what are they doing? I mean, okay, let's just tell ourselves that every time that Dumbledore's not around to save the day, it's because he's trying to figure out where Voldemort is or something. But Snape, come on, man. This is the Slytherin Gryffindor game. Like, why isn't Snape running down to help and show on up? It upsets me that nobody is saving him and that the boys, Fred and George Weasley, have to wrestle this rogue Bludger into a box. You know, I just recently rewatched this movie, and it's Hermione that, like, you know, stops the Bludger with the flick of her wrist. And I'm like, how many adults were in that stand?
Right.
They should have just done that.
I actually have a very basic logical question about this.
Like, yeah.
It's sports related.
Tell me.
Madam Hooch is the ref for this game.
Where is she?
Well, yeah.
She's having a toddy with
she ain't
Sprout.
She's the bourbon girl. Sprout is the gin girl. By the way, get your Professor
Sprout's
gin.
It's been
Sprout's
a little rainy. That's why I thought they might be wanting a toddy.
Well, what I'm saying is, Where is Madame Hooch in all of this? Because how is she not noticing that the Bludger is going after Harry, like acting abnormally?
It's
so obvious to everybody that the Bludger is off. Yet Madame Hooch is just head in the freaking clouds. Like, oh, look at that. Whee! Hogwarts. Like,
I mean, maybe she checked everything, you know, like 2 minutes beforehand, and Dobby was really quick. Maybe she approved it, so she's just like, whatever. Some, you know, all of these balls seem to maneuver with their own mind.
Yeah. Denise says they don't call her Hooch for nothing.
well done.
But even then, okay, so let's just say for the sake of argument that Hooch, she don't see it, and she's not paying attention, heads in the clouds.
Yes.
You got team captains who should go over there. You got other teachers.
Wood is not going over there, though.
But he should, and he should, because he should at least be like, hey, what's going on with it? Can you take a look into this? Any sport, the coach or the captain can go up to a ref and be like, hey, take a look at this. Just watch out for it. And not only that, why is it that Gryffindor would have to forfeit the match by making an inquiry? It doesn't make any sense
that
whatsoever.
That part I don't know.
Doesn't
I
make
do
any sense.
I think that Wood probably was not paying attention too awfully much to the bludger itself.
Yes.
He was too busy defending the goal, watching all of his
team. But they do take a timeout. They do take a timeout.
Yeah,
they
do
talk about it.
But he can't watch Harry all the time. So when everyone's like, oh, Harry's having this bludger chase him, and then he asks Harry, how bad is it? And Harry says, I can handle it myself. Wood takes his word for it.
Yeah.
Wood takes his word for it, man. I'm not saying it's right.
And I think it's easy to dismiss the Quidditch of it all in this chapter. Like, it's just action for action's sake and Harry breaking his arm for the sake of breaking his arm. I think there's an argument to be made there, but there is something that is happening in the subtext of all of this that I think is really important.
Okay.
It is, again, talking about identity and what it is to be who you are. Harry sees the snitch immediately. Mm-hmm. Malfoy does not, even though it is floating right above his head. And just because his father bought all those amazing brooms,
Nimbus 2001, get it right.
It doesn't mean that that Slytherin is going to win.
Yep.
It takes talent. It takes openness. And for the entire series so far, we have seen Malfoy be put in a position where his selfishness and his hatred of people less than him, or his dismissal of people less than him, make him a worse person. And he's too busy making fun of Harry to actually see the point of what he is there for.
Yep.
So again, we're getting a little bit more into these specific characters.
You know, what's funny is Lockhart tells Harry that he used to be a seeker. So Lockhart, of course, was a wizard that went to Hogwarts. He was sorted in House Ravenclaw. Very, very intelligent. So intelligent, especially at the Occlumency charm, so he can erase people's memories and rearrange things a little bit. But he was never really great at sports. And the author had said that he was never very popular. This is Gilderoy. He always tried to have school-wide recognition, and he actually received a week's worth. This is, once again, Gilderoy Lockhart received a week's worth of detentions for magically carving his signature in 20-foot-long letters into the Quidditch pitch.
Huh?
Couldn't you just see that?
Yes, absolutely.
Like the Quidditch pitch and just like, fine. Everyone's going to know my name. I may not be the best seeker. Poor Ravenclaw. They must have had very few people to choose from.
So many points taken away. But, you know, as Draco is exhibiting a prejudice against people and really not working out well for him at the end of the game, at the end of the match, rather. You know, it still happens to be that Ron and Hermione and Harry are still kind of doing the same thing, and they're doing it against Draco. Do you think that's by design, Mary?
Yeah, I mean, once again, they're 12-year-olds, so that's an age where it's very easy to be us against them. I mean, it's kind of ingrained that way by the houses being the way that they are. I know they've been against each other for Quidditch, but yeah, I mean, they must think that they're the ones that tampered with the bludger.
Sure.
You know?
Yep, absolutely.
It's not like Quirrell's there.
And towards the end of the book here, or the end of the chapter, rather, when we do have the back and forth between Dobby and Harry, one thing that stands out to me was when Dobby went away, the teachers come in, including Dumbledore, and they're speaking in hushed tones. Yes, probably because they think Harry is sleeping, but I also think it's because they just have no clue what they're dealing with. And the fact that Professor McGonagall and Dumbledore, the greatest wizard of his time, have no idea what they're up against, I think that speaks volumes. And it ratchets up even more tension for Harry, who hears all of their conversations and realizes that they don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to solve it.
You know what blows my mind about this? So Dumbledore, Professor McGonagall, and Madame Pomfrey are all having this conversation while they're carrying Colin Creevy inside.
Yes.
And they're trying to look at his camera to see if he took film of it. And of course, the film was all melted. Dumbledore says, you know, this means that the Chamber of Secrets is indeed open again. Madame Pomfrey clapped her hand over her mouth. Professor McGonagall said, but Albus, surely who? Okay, these are three individuals who at Hogwarts know that the Chamber of Secrets was open.
Yes.
This wasn't like, oh, Professor Binns, I only deal with facts. And yet Dumbledore, McGonagall, and Pomfrey don't seem to bat an eye. They're like, it is opened again. Okay, because it was a real thing. So it makes you wonder how many professors in the school know that it even is a real thing.
Yeah.
Why doesn't Professor Binns know about it if they're just talking about it with Madame Pomfrey? But she probably had to be the one that took care of, I don't know, saying that Moaning Myrtle was dead.
Yeah, like, but the history also suggests here, too, that they should all know that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like because
I'm mad at Binns.
That's why Hagrid was expelled.
Yeah. Yes.
Like it's a little bit of a logical jump here why the especially Binns doesn't know about this.
So like, you know how your family doesn't really like talk about things?
They don't talk about anything at all. Ever.
And all I do so is much talk Irish about Catholic things. Guilt. Like I'm just like the Harry Potter. Like let's talk about this. Let's just lay it out on the table.
To your detriment sometimes, by the way.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. But then at least I know what's going on. So I wonder if that's what this is like. You know, at the end of last chapter, Dumbledore said everybody naturally knows what just happened. And yet here we come into the Chamber of Secrets and we're like, does really everybody know what happened? Does everyone know that Harry pretty much offed Professor Quirrell and that Voldemort was back? Because no one really acts like it. And I feel like this is what the Chamber of Secrets was like. Like people just kind of sweep it under the rug. Like those who need to know.
Sure.
And then they don't talk about it with anybody else. But the other thing that is very important is, you know, Minerva says, but Albus, who opened it? And he says, it's not who, but the question is how.
That's a great ending line for this chapter. Well, I mean, it doesn't end the chapter. The final sentence is from what Harry could see of Professor McGonagall's shadowy face. She didn't understand this any better than he did. That, too, that's a perfect way to end this chapter, leading us into the next thing. And it confirms that the teachers just don't know. And that confirms Harry's fear and his question.
They don't know what?
That they don't know.
And which chief? Are you talking about these three? Pomfrey, Dumbledore?
Yes.
So, like, Dumbledore saying, it's Voldemort, essentially. Minerva's saying who did it, and Dumbledore saying the question isn't who, because he knows it's Voldemort.
Yeah, but they still don't have a grasp on how it's being
exactly,
done. No matter what,
they're still
talking in hushed tones in a way that is prescriptive of fear.
Yes.
And this confirms that, not only is this the main thrust of the book, that we're halfway through it, this is the turning point of the book. But it also confirms for Harry that he cannot put faith in the teachers to save the day. We've always asked, and especially last chapter, why isn't Harry going to the teachers to figure this out? Why are they going to figure out a freaking Polyjuice potion to get this done? This is the exact reason why. They don't know.
And he knows now that they know the truth, that the Chamber of Secrets was real. He just learned it from Dobby, and 2 minutes later, it's confirmed by Dumbledore's own mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And yet, the kids are all wondering and whispering, and people are saying it doesn't really exist. Now, this is, of course, different than in the movies. In the movies, they ask Professor McGonagall, and Professor McGonagall's pretty outright with it. But in the books, this is another, sadly, tick mark for the I'm not on the Dumbledore train. I go back and forth. Some days I'm all in with Dumbledore, and there's other times where I get disappointed because here he is saying the Chamber of Secrets is open once again, and we know that it's because of Voldemort. And he knows Voldemort's back because of what just happened last year.
Sure.
And yet, does he add any extra protection to Harry Potter?
Good one. Good one. No, there's no extra protection.
Because once again, he's just bait.
Yes, exactly.
So you see what I'm saying? Like, yes, he saying, okay, all right, Chamber of Secrets, which is really bad. I've never found it.
Yep.
That's open. And that means Voldemort's back. I don't know how he's back, though. All right. I'm just going to go stroke my beard, eat some, you know, lemon sherbet lemons, mm-hmm, go talk with Fox.
Listen to some Kelly.
See you later.
Some cake. is Dumbledore a German chocolate cake guy, or is he like a vanilla cake guy, if you want to bake a noodle, is he a carrot cake guy?
Oh, wow. I feel like he'd be a cake of the month guy. Like, you just want to explore all flavors, but because we know he's preferable to lemon, I would say maybe a lemon cake, maybe on days he's feeling feisty, lemon meringue.
Oh, does he do the extra meringue?
I think he
Or is
does,
he more of a lemon guy?
I think he likes the meringue, but he has to eat it in the kitchen or the privacy of his office because it just makes a mess in his beard.
Does he go right in the pie with a fork? Does he cut it properly?
He might just face plant. I mean, he's by himself. Where the heck is he? He wasn't at Quidditch, I can tell you that.
Eating his lemon meringue pie.
He's not in most of this book yet. He knows who it is.
Going full send. Full send in the lemon meringue.
There we go. So
anything
on
else?
That, no,
else?
I'm ready to go... Flip on over. Poor Colin Creevy. I wonder if they get hungry when they're petrified. And yeah, where's like, Mrs. Norris kept?
Is it like a cold, frozen storage thing?
Is it like that movie where the guy's frozen?
There's a lot of movies where the guy's frozen. You're going to have to narrow that one down.
And the kids find him. The Hobbit kid finds him.
Oh, yes. Oh, what the heck is it? It's Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
The Man Before Time.
No,
it's not The Man Before Time.
No. It's like Eternal or what is something like that. But anyway.
Oh, please, everybody who's listening right now, it's the Mel Gibson movie. Because I keep thinking it's The Man With No Face, but that's a different movie.
Yeah.
What the heck was that name of that movie?
I don't know.
Oh, it's going to bother me.
You ready for a different perspective?
Yes. As always, ladies and gents, the different perspective is brought to you by Minute With Mary. Mary, tell us a little bit with Minute With Mary.
Okay, so this week, if you're listening to this right now while we're recording, today is October 5th. I actually have spooktacular deals and steals going on.
Forever young. Thank you, Nancy.
Forever young. There you go. So my spooky deals, it's October 5th through October 9th. You just go to minutewithmary.com. Click shop now, and you're going to see this black banner above. I have products that are 40% off. My brown epic mascara, my lip stains, which are 100% mask proof. Like, you can have beautiful lip color so that you don't look like Casper the Friendly Ghost, and it will not budge on your mask. I have all these different eyeshadows on sale. So many things, 40% off. So just go to minutewithmary.com and click shop now products October 5th through October 9th.
Let's do it, shall we?
Holy yes. Cricket, you're Harry Potter. I'm Hermione Granger. And you are?
You know what, Marvin? I'm going to take this one.
I thought you would.
I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it because I'm going to be Colin Creevy.
Oh, nice.
I'm going to be Colin Creevy.
I'm glad. See, I'm so deep. I love Dobby so much that I was going to like take him, but I feel like I already blessed him in the beginning.
That's the low-hanging fruit.
I know.
Low-hanging fruit. I'm going for
it. Or I was going to be Hooch.
Which would be a good one. But I'm going to go Colin Creevy on this one because I'm just excited. I'm excited that I get a chance to hang out with my best friend, Harry Potter. And I get to go. I get to bring him grapes. And he can eat the grapes. And maybe I'm just helping him.
Like in those Greek portraits where people like lie down and you hold the grapes
above
it.
Maybe I could just like do the whole...
Maybe he can fly by and I can hold it out and he'll have his mouth open. Like when people are on carousel rides.
Yeah, why not? Sure.
Harry's been in a carousel.
Harry's my best friend. He knows it. I know it.
Yeah.
I'm all about the Harry life. I was there supporting him. I was there when he got hurt. I'm taking pictures. I'm memorializing it for him.
Yep.
It's a big deal. All I want to do is visit my best friend. And yet, I get petrified with my camera in hand. And not only do I get petrified, I lose all my film. How many pictures do I got on that? I am angry. All the film's gone. I took all those pictures. All that time.
It was probably like the last picture.
Wasted.
It was the basilisk.
It's the basilisk. I got the story of the century. It's the freaking Chamber of Secrets.
Rita Skeeter who?
Rita. Dude.
Move over.
Yeah, move over. It's called Creevy time. And I lose all of it because Dumbledore decides to open up my camera and look at the film.
He was going to go to the CVS photo down the street.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. CVS would have taken care of. They got that little black bag that they open up the camera in. They do the whole thing. You want to know why I know that? Because I did it for many, many a year. And this is Blake talking. I developed film for many, many a year. Now back to Colin.
Colin actually learned how to develop his own film so that it could be
magical. Exactly. So he got the black bag. He got the thing with the arms. Now, I know what I'm doing. It's mine. Don't touch my camera. Don't touch my film. I don't want anybody touching it. But what's worse is I'm now petrified. I'm sitting there. My bones are going to be cracking. I'm going to be having a hard time. Maybe I got to pee. Maybe I got to poop.
Can I tell you something good?
Maybe
though,
I'm
Colin?
Hungry. I should have ate those grapes.
You should have. You want to know something good?
What?
You get to spend like the next 32 hours laying next to Harry Potter. But you can't say a darn thing.
Can't see. Can't say it. Can't see it. Can't
ask
do
him
it.
Questions. You have to stare at the ceiling. You're next to him and you can't even look at him.
But I know he's there. And it soothes me. It soothes me so much. Here's another problem that I got.
Colin or
it's,
Blake?
No. Colin. I'm still Colin.
Okay.
Another problem I got. It's October. Well, is it September or
it's
October?
It's November right now.
All right, no, it's November. Fine. Whatevs. Stats are for nerds. It's November.
It's like the first weekend after Halloween.
And I've been told that we ain't going to get any of these Mandrake potions until the end of the year.
Sorry.
So what's going to happen to me when I finally wake up? Am I going to have to go back and redo my first year? Am I going to have to like make up all the work? It ain't my fault that you people can't take care of my safety.
What about the fortune I spent on Gilderoy Lockhart's book that I don't even use
right,
next year?
Right. I'm not going to use it. Am I going to get a refund for that?
Do I get therapy for this?
How much therapy am I going to need? That's the question.
Listen, not enough to keep his brother Nigel from coming. Okay, he goes through this experience where he is petrified for the entire year, yeah. Essentially. And then his parents are like, that's a great school. They yeah. probably are so annoyed by Colin. his first like famous person that he loved was his dad. And he was like, you got to get this kid out of here.
Right.
There's a magical train that takes him away for a
Good.
Year. Put him on it. I don't even believe in witches. Bye.
So I figure I got my whole first year yep. away from my brother, away from my family. I miss my entire first year. I got to go back home and not learn a damn thing. And then my brother's got to come my second year and ruin all my life.
Except for 32 beautiful hours.
Where I get to be soothed by Harry Potter. Yeah. So that's my Colin Creevy. You ready for some listener questions, Marvin?
Always.
All right. So good. I noticed it. I noticed it that time.
I'm really proud of
Good
you.
Good job. You know what? This one's for you, Mary. Bam! Just like that. A winner! Actually, it's more for me because I finally recognized
yeah.
it.
Okay.
So if you are listening to us on the podcast app, you are not left out. In fact, this is meant for you. So please, if you have any questions about anything that we said in this chapter or previous chapters or about future chapters, email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com and we will put it on the podcast that follows your email. And if you're listening to us or watching us live, make sure you ask your questions in the comments. Put a little
lightning bolt emoji. To start the question, yes.
And
so we know to look for it.
We will notice it there. You ready for this, Marvin?
I am.
Let's do it.
Oh, Miles Head.
All right, we do have an email. This one comes from Wendy. She said, my daughter is binge-watching, again, the Worst Witch series. Before watching the new season, I'm always shocked at the obvious similarities to Harry Potter. I know the Worst Witch book started out in 1974. All I see is female Dumbledore, Snape, and Malfoy.
You have not read that series.
I have not read that series. Mm-hmm. That is amazing.
Or watched it, either.
Perhaps we will watch that. We'll put that on the...
The must-watch or read list. Yeah, very
list.
Cool. Thank you, Wendy. All right, I saw we had a lightning bolt up. There okay. was another one up above that, so keep on scrolling. There we go. Ellen says, if you could cast the Weasleys as the Kardashians, who would be who?
Oh, see, I refuse to partake in this. I refuse. And Ellen, I appreciate the question. I definitely want you to ask the question.
I do think Ron would be the one that was the fake one, the brother that they were like making a spoof show of. Wasn't it like Jeff Kardashian or whatever?
Yes, Tom.
Yeah.
Sure, Brad.
The like other Kardashian.
Yeah, whatever.
That'd
sure.
be Ron.
Because I refuse to give the Kardashians any consideration. in anything in life. Okay. They're famous for being famous, and I hate it.
That's how Harry felt for a little while.
I hate it. Go it down. It sucks. All right.
And Rebecca Ann says, if you got to choose the director and screenwriter or screenwriters for these adaptations, who would you choose?
Oh, man. See, this is really good. That's a really good question. I really like Steve Kloves. I like the job that he did, especially in the later films. And the director, you see, that's a really good question. It depends if you really want to get weird with it. Mm. Like if you want to get weird with it, you'd find somebody like David Cronenberg and be like, dude, just go to town with all the magic. And like, he's the guy who directed The Fly and everything. So like, it would be creepy with him. If you wanted to be more mainstream, you'd get Steven Spielberg. I think he would bring a sense of whimsy to Harry Potter, and obviously that's who they wanted to direct these films.
Yes. Why did he say no?
He turned it down. I can't remember why he turned it down. Hmm. But he did suggest M. Night Shyamalan. That'd be a cool one, too. M. Night Shyamalan would be funny. It would be a good choice. But of course, my choice is always J.J. Abrams. J.J. Abrams for everything. Just make him the director of all things, and I'd be happy because I'm a J.J. Abrams fanboy. So that is that. Okay. Heather says, Blake asked why Madam Hooch wasn't following the game in the Rogue Bludger more closely. I also wonder why they don't have a designated Quidditch medic on hand since they seem quite accident prone as well. Mary, would you agree with this?
Yeah. I mean, like, where Madame Pomfrey's just chilling out up there. You think she'd be by them? I don't know. Or that maybe they'd have like seventh years who are interested in going into the healing arts. Mm-hmm. Maybe just be there as, you know, interns. I agree. Listen, Hogwarts is no easy place to hang out in or go to school.
Caitlin asks, how did Lockhart graduate from Hogwarts without knowing simple spells? And why did they hire him if he sucks so bad?
So I think he knew simple spells, Caitlin. I think he knew a lot of stuff because he's a Ravenclaw. So he's quite intelligent in some regards. But he chose to be famous in things that he is not strong in.
Sure.
So he was very good about certain types of charms. And
he was a Ravenclaw. He was
there. He just didn't lean into that. Yep. I mean, oh well. Sorry, but he probably would actually be a very good charms teacher. Like if Flitwick didn't have that position, mm-hmm. I bet you Lockhart actually would do a pretty fair job as a charms teacher. Hmm.
Jennifer asks, I still ask what's a Kardashian, and I have yet to get back an answer. That makes me give a darn. I don't know what that means. But a Kardashian, they're the worst people on the planet. That's if you just look it up. They're just the worst people.
And Brittany K. Brown says, why couldn't they have let Hagrid finish his medical education once his name got cleared? They couldn't have let him get a wizard GED so he could do magic. I'm going to be looking more into that, Brittany, as we get into that in this book, because it is one of my pet peeves as well, as Hagrid is my favorite character.
Denise asks, if Lockhart had a Facebook page, would it be Glow Up with Gilderoy or Ooh. Glowing with Gilderoy?
Ooh.
I love the glow up one.
Yeah.
I feel like that's more.
Agreed.
I feel like that's 2020.
Yes.
But it would be appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
All right, friends. Well, thank you so much for submitting your questions. And as Blake said earlier, always feel free to email us at maryandblakemedia@gmail.com because the next chapter, whew, what do we got next, baby?
We got the Dueling Club.
Yes.
The Dueling Club.
Oh, yes.
That'll be. Is that when.
Snape
essentially pantses Gilderoy in front of everybody.
It's so good. Two of your favorite people.
Oh, the best. It's great. I love that scene. I love that scene in the film too. So that's great. All right. You ready to close this bad boy out, Madam?
I am.
Let's do it. Now ask a question.
Do I know what I've been doing?
What have you been doing?
I've been rewatching the movies, keeping my eye particularly careful on Snape because, of course, Alan Rickman had been told by the author
Yes.
Snape's deep secret. So throughout all of the films, I've decided to always keep my eye on him when he's in the scene to see how he's looking or reacting to Harry. Mm-hmm. And today, while I was doing some work, I rewatched Goblet of Fire. And when Harry arrives with Cedric's body and everything, you know, I just watched Snape and how Snape looked at Harry. And things that you wouldn't normally notice. So if you are doing a rewatch, because it's October and a lot of people like to rewatch the Potter movies near Halloween, watch Snape. Because Alan knew all along Snape's little secret.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for listening to us on the podcast app or watching live. As always, if you find any value in what we do and you appreciate the things that the community is saying, go to jointhenerdclan.com and become an official member. Peace. Become an official Nerd Clan member. Enjoy that community. Get all the cool little bonuses that we have going on there, including the Crown podcast, which will be returning in November, which I'm very excited about. And Blake's Book Club, which right now is Midnight Sun. So, yeah, enjoy that.
All right. My name's Mary.
My name's Blake.
Mischief Managed.